Vajan Rahasyam class, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing this separation mood of the gopis and how this is, of course, relished to the level of prema. This is prema bhajan, vipralamba and sambhog. Well, for devotees, he's given a selection of verses for us to study and chant and meditate on. And these verses actually deepen our own separation. We were in the middle of a tika yesterday, commentary, and because of time restraints, every class is 40 minutes long, it was kind of left hanging there. This is a commentary where Krishna meets the gopis in Kurukshetra, and he says, listen, you know, he says, bhakti or prema, devotional service, it qualifies someone to attain my blissful abode. And you're very fortunate because you developed love for me. Krishna's telling them that. And then he just says that. And then in the commentaries, the gopis are replying to Krishna in so many different words. And they're saying, what is this? You know, you're trying to tell us about the prema qualifies one to realize us, to realize you, but actually, you have assumed your form of Mohini to cheat the demons out of nectar, say the gopis. And then you arrange for the demigods to relish it. By instructing the yogis on meditation, you deprive them of the secret of love. But we are not like the demon or yogi who is deprived of the confidential secret of prema tattva. Because Krishna's talking about prema, you should develop prema, you'll be with me, my prema. And they say, who are you talking to? They're angry, actually. They're a little angry, this type of dialogue. They didn't expect such a thing coming from Krishna. Oh, Krishna, you also sent Uddhava to Braj with your collection of tattva gyan. As you're telling us now, well, 50 years ago, Uddhava came with the same rap, so to speak. And instead of alleviating our pain of separation, your message or letter which you sent with Uddhava simply increased our pain. Now here again, you're doing the same thing. This is ridiculous instruction. It's suitable for a child. You think we're babies? Brahma and other great yogis can be delivered by meditating your feet. But we have not fallen into the well of material existence. That's what they say, because Krishna's saying anyone who's in samsara coop, anyone who's in a well of material existence can get delivered by thinking of my feet. And I said, forget about that. We don't even know what material existence is. What is it? Where is it? We only exist for you, and you're certainly not material. you are our existence. We exist for you, and you're not. You're totally transcendental. There's nothing material about you. So how can you tell us, oh yes, meditate on my feet, you'll get free from material existence. But all we know is you, your feet, your hand, everything. So we're not in material existence, we're in you. You are in us and we are in you. There's no separation. You're speaking like you're teaching some child. Where are we? We're falling, okay, yes, we're not falling in the well, samsara coop. We're not falling in the well of birth and death or samsara chakra. We're falling, okay. We're sinking, drowning in an ocean. Forget about a well. A well is a small body of water. It's circumscribed, it has such and such width and such depth. But the ocean, you can't measure how deep it is or how wide it is. It's so huge and vast. That's where we are. We're not in a well, we're in the ocean of what? Separation. And you cannot even, we fall into ocean separation. We can't even find, we don't even know where our bodies are. We gave up attachment to our homes for your happiness. How is it possible to fall into a well? So gopis are so much distressed. They say, look, we've come all the way here to Kurukshetra from Vrindavan, and our meeting with you is like our first meeting. But our minds are stolen away by the memories of Vrindavan. There's so many people here. There's a Lokaranya, there's a forest here, but not a forest of trees or Brinda, forest of Tulsi or so many Kadamba trees and Tamal trees. There's a forest of people here. There's thousands, as I mentioned yesterday or day before. And this Kurukshetra solar eclipse, where everybody in India went there. Just like Kumbh Mela in Lalabad, so many millions and millions of people go there. But this particular solar eclipse was visible all over India, and happens every, 20,000, 27,000 years. And everybody in India got the news from their jyotishis and newspapers or whatever, 5,000 years ago, that perhaps during this eclipse, Surya Grahan, there may be the Earth may blow up. The Earth may run into the back bumper of another planet, may crash into another planet, and then everything's finished. So everybody was rather concerned about being in such a place, Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra, and bathing and remembering the Lord, that they may get liberated or saved from the calamity. So they say, we want to go to the Pushparanya, the forest of flowers, and hear the sweet sounds of bumblebees and cuckoos, not chariots and trumpets and trumpeting elephants. Vrindavan resounds with the sweet sounds of parrots and peacocks and cuckoos. That's the same thing. These purports are kind of similar to what we've heard. Again, Radharani says, my mind is Vrindavan, I'm only thinking of you. I'm only thinking of Vrindavan, and you and Vrindavan, I can't think of you anywhere else. And ends like that. He says, my mind is eager to meet with you again in that Vrindavan. Prananatha Shunamora Satyanivedan Brajamara Sadan Tahantamara Sangaman Na Paile Navarai Jivan. He says, O Prananath, O Sri Krishna, hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan, and I wish to have your association there. If not, it will be very difficult for me to maintain my life. This is verse 23 in this discussion. All this is about Pravasa Rag, and there's so many, 3-4 more verses. The whole chapter, of course, is separation, and it's one verse after another to describe different types of separation. Mostly you've been hearing about Radha and Krishna separated by a great distance, and this is text 7 of the same chapter. It's kind of repeatedly we hear the same message. So the message is to read these verses, enter deeply into the meaning, and pray to the gopis and the Krishna that some of this separation mood will come inside of us. This verse describes Pravasa Rag, or separation, Krishna's in Mathura. And this is the famous verse from Padyavali, which was spoken by Radharani, but it came out of the mouth of Madhavendra Puri. The sentiments of Radha and Pravas, separation by being out of sight, these are most favorable to meditate upon for the sadhaka. Who immerses himself in these sentiments should read these chapters from Bhagavatam, such as Brahma Gita. Madhavendra Puri, when he was leaving his body, he expressed Radha's intense bhav, which was bursting out of her heart. This was hidden in her heart. And this came out of Radharani's heart at Pravas. We heard about Sudur Pravas, when Krishna is in a very distant place like Kurukshetra or in Dwarka. But now he's not very far. He's only in Mathura. He's only gone to Mathura a few days ago. And Radharani was feeling so much separation that she said, Ai dina diyarda natahe Mathura natha kadava lokise Ridiyam twada loka kataram Daita brahmiti kim karomyaham. Oh, you are very merciful. Aidina deyar dharnate. You are very merciful to the wretched and fallen, O Master, O Nath. But now, Mathura Nath, you are Gopinath, you are Nathji, but now you are Mathura Nath. You become the Lord and Master and Controller of Mathura. Kada avalokise, avaloka. Loka means to have darshan, to see. Well, when will I see you? When will I have your darshan? Ridiyam twadaloka kataram. O Lord of my life, Mathuranath, if I cannot see you, my heart becomes kataram. Ridiyam kataram. Becomes very shaking, very disturbed without seeing you. Ridiyam twadaloka kataram. Alok. We say alok. Without seeing you. Then, dayita. I am your beloved. You are my beloved. But because I can't see you, My heart has become agitated. Brahm, we know this word is in Hindi also, Brahm. Brahm means disturbed or agitated. I can't see you, now my heart is very agitated. Kim karomi? Kim karomiyam? What am I supposed to do now? Ai dina, what do we say? Ai nanda tanda shakinkaram? Patitam vama shambhem vamaro kripyata vapara pankaje? Stita duli sadrisham, he says, Kim karom. He says, kim karom. It's the same thing here. Kim karom yaham. You say, oh, Nanda, Nanda, no son of Krishna. Well, what can I do? How can I serve you? What can I do now? I'm situated in your feet. So this is an outburst of separation again. And when we hear this, we say, oh, Radharani is speaking this. And she's feeling so much pain and separation. And she's missing Krishna. And Radharani's crying when she's saying this. Oh, Krishna, you've gone there. When will I ever see you again? We, of course, are saying, we are praying like this also. We are thinking, Krishna, kada avalokise, when will I see you? When will I have that darshan? It's called utkantita bhav, utkanta. Very much eagerness. And this verse is full of eagerness and full of longing and full of separation. And this is what Vipralamba Bhajan is all about. It's based on attraction to Krishna, attachment to Krishna. Hey Dina Diyardanatta, hey Dina Diyardanatta, Krishna Maturanath, Kabe Puna Pava Darshan, Na Deki Na Chanda Mukha, Vyatita Ridya Dukha, Hey Dayata, Ki Kari Ekhan. This verse is the foremost of rasa poetry. Radharani spoke this in a state of divyonmad, when she was deeply aggrieved by separation from Krishna. By the mercy of Radharani, the same shloka that was in her heart, which she spoke thousands of years ago, manifested a few hundred years ago from the mouth of Srimadavendrapuri. And that, accepting the mood of Radharani, Krishna also relished this verse during Rathayatra in the form of Lord Chaitanya. No fourth person has ever tasted its inner moods. So these are the three persons: Radharani, Madhavendrapuri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Uttering this verse, Mahaprabhu would become overwhelmed by prema and faint. Maddened by prema, he would run here and there, laugh and dance. He couldn't say anything. He was so overwhelmed, he would just simply say, Aidina, Aidina, due to prema vesh. Tears would flow from Gauranga's eyes, and sattvic vyavichari and other bhavas would appear in his body in their blazing states called sudipta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the gardener of the desire tree of Krishna prema. He distributed the fruits of this tree and tasted them also. Madhavendra Puri was saturated with Krishna prema. He was the first sprout of this desire tree. With Ishvara Puri, his disciple, this sprout of the desire tree of Krishna Prem Ras, it grew. Mahaprabhu was a gardener. He manifested as a trunk. Before the appearance of Madhavendra Puripad, there was no Rasamayi Upasana, which means worship or serving the Lord in amorous love. Madhavendra Puri, of course, is coming in the Madhva Sampradaya, but their idea, there's not much bhakti ras there. There's simply bhakti and seva and going to Vaikuntha to serve the Lord in Dasya Bhav. There's not this higher experience of all these rasas and level of Braja Prem. And there's so many bhavas manifest, very technical discussion of the different bhavas which manifested in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Can read it. This is about the transitory bhavas that come and fall, rise and fall. Sanchari bhavas or vyavachari bhavas manifest when one is separated from the Lord. And this separation agitates the heart. The heart is full of praying for Krishna. But when he's not there, then it creates so much disturbance. And that disturbance causes different feelings and symptoms to manifest in the body and mind, like humility, dānya, and envy, contrariness, man. There are many kinds of sanchari bhavs arise in Radha's heart when she's submerged in ocean of separation from Krishna. Bhava Sandhi, Bhava Shabalya, etc. These are all technical terms about bhavas and mixing of bhavas and mixing of feelings. You're happy, then you're envious, then you're favorable, then you're contrary. You want to be with the person, though I don't want to be with you. We do the same thing sometimes. One bhava suppresses another and becomes prominent. And bhava shanti, pacification, an extremely powerful bhava, creates waves in the ocean of separation. Viraha unmadani Radha addressed Krishna in extreme humility. Aidina dayardanatahe. So this is a very humble expression. O Krishna, you are very simple-hearted and affectionate. You removed the Rijvasi's sorrows. Give your mercy to us and everyone. Protect us from distress. Why don't you give your mercy to me? You're my master and I'm separated from you. After all, a master is supposed to care for his dependents, isn't it? He can't neglect his dependents, his servants. If the servant becomes sick, the master's servant becomes sick, the master doesn't say, okay, be sick. No, he has to say, oh, he has to give money for medicine, he has to call a doctor, because if the servant is sick and immobilized, then he can't do any service. So the master also suffers. So it behooves him to care for him, and of course it's dharmic to care for a sick person also. It's considered that it's one of the great, great sins if someone doesn't care for a sick person. If there's a sick person in your sangha or your association, and you don't try to render whatever care you can for them, then you incur a very heavy sin. So Radharani is saying, if you remove the sorrows of the residents of Braj, please give your mercy to me and all living entities. Protect us from distress. Why will you not give mercy to me? I'm separated from my master. Won't you take care of me? You have a reputation as he removes the distress of the residents of Braj. This is your fame. But now it'll be disgrace if you don't take away my distress. Only you are my dayata, my beloved. You're my nath. Radharani is telling this. So in this ocean of separation, there's a huge towering wave that represses this feeling of humility and manifests a mood of envy and contrariness, man, due to jealousy. So this verse that Manavendra Puri spoke, although it's only Charapada, four lines, Ayadina Dirardanate Maturanat Kadavalokese, Ridyam Tum Kataram, Ridyam Tum, how does it go? Ridyam Tum Aloka Kataram, Daita Brahmitikim Karomyam. There's four lines of the first two lines. Radharani starts off kind of in a humble mood, feeling neglected, and that Krishna, you're my master, you're Maturanath, I really want to see you. And then she changed her mood and gets kind of contrary. She said, what? You're beloved, and we can't see you, and we're becoming bewildered. What is this? Oh, Maturanath, why would you be merciful to us anyway? How can you remember us when you're a Matura? You're a Maturanath now. You're not the Lord of our hearts or Gopinath. You're surrounded by so many beautiful city ladies, and they know how to speak sweetly, and they behave so well and perfectly. We're village girls. We speak a little rough, and we behave a little roughly, like you see these village ladies. They're a little on the rough side, not so refined and cultured. So now you're surrounded by refined, cultured ladies that speak very softly, because it's not cool to raise your voice in the city. You have to speak very nice. Hello, how are you? It's fine. It's that. But in a village, hey, get that buffalo. Hey, get that cow. Hey. So they're a little bit wild in a village. So we speak like this. We yell across the field, hey, get that calf. It's running over there by the Govardhan Hill. We don't have the idea. It's against the law to raise your voice in the city. In a city and cultured people, you can't raise your voice. No, shh, be quiet. Don't yell, don't scream. But in the villages, you have to scream. You can't communicate without screaming. Because your husband's 2 kilometers away in the field, pasturing the cows, or your daughter is out playing somewhere by some riverbank 3 kilometers away. Hey, Vishaka! Vishaka! Come back! Kanakavo! Kanakata! Roti Lao! Sabji Lao! Yes, mother! And they're yelling back and forth. You hear in the village. This little girl, her voice is so powerful. Piercing, powerful. But in the city, everything is very controlled. Have you forgotten us? Gopis, milkmaids, now you're receiving so much honor and distinction from the fabulously opulent kings of Mathura. How can you have time to remember us wretched persons? By associating with the Yadavas in Mathura, your heart has become very hard. So, obviously, your heart will no longer melt upon seeing the condition of us gopis who are so distressed. While Radharani spoke like this, she became momentarily stunned. And then at that time, a different Sanchari Bhava, another wave arose in her heart of Dainya, of humility. She said, "Oh, Dayata, oh, my beloved Shamsundar, you're more dear to us than our own lives. How can we forget your loving dealings? We would become tired. Remember, we were dancing in the Rasa dance. We felt so much fatigue and so tired. And then you were so kind to us that you took your chatter and you wiped the perspiration from our forehead and from our cheeks so delicately and so gently. And remember, if our kunkum-stained pitambara, you would lovingly hold it to your heart. When you left us, you said, 'I will return.' And only because of this assurance, of these words that you gave us that we're remaining alive. But we're a little confused because we're wondering, will you actually return or not? So please give some consolation to us. We're here at Kurukshetra, you're there in Mathura, we're here in Vrindavan. Our hearts are intensely restless to see your moon-like face." In the commentary, Bhaktivinoda writes that this is the pinnacle of bhajan, the topmost bhajan. What is that? To follow the mood of the Braja Gopis. There are moods of separation. So this is what bhajan means. We want to go to Krishna and to attain the eternal service of Radharani and Vrindavan. So we have to follow those that have done that, those that are existing there at her lotus feet. So the feelings of Radharani and separation and the feelings of her servants are contained in these verses. So by reading these verses, then we can understand something. And of course, a lot of the success and the endeavor of sadhana depends on the attitude and sincerity of the devotee endeavoring and walking on the path of sadhana, that he really wants this accomplishment more than anything else, that he really wants to be there with the gopis and manjaris, and really, really, truly and genuinely wants to be with Radha and Krishna and serve them in Vrindavan. In the beginning stage, for most everyone, it's like, yeah, okay, not a bad idea. It's only one of many ideas crowding our minds and competing for our attention. And generally, we're more grossly based in the day-to-day wants and needs of the body and mind to satisfy the different appetites. The eating appetite, sleeping appetite, sexual appetite, ego appetite. They are demanding a lot of food. They're very voracious eaters. The ego requires a lot of food, a lot of appreciation, a lot of recognition, a lot of distinction. And therefore, we don't have much time to be anxious and eager to be with Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. And years go by, and sometimes lifetimes go by, before we ever develop that urgency, that sense of urgency and intensity that is required to become a genuine sadhaka on the path of bhajan. That we eliminate everything else in order to accept this proposal. And that's where progress begins. What does progress mean? Progress means elimination and acceptance. Elimination of the negative and acceptance of the positive. But the negative is too tasty. The negative is too familiar. We're conditioned by the negative. We're very negative, and we just like all these things because of familiarity. Familiarity breeds attachment. It's funny, we're so familiar with all these material activities, but we don't become contemptuous. They say familiarity breeds contempt. But that may be in regards to another person, but not our own attachments. We're so familiar with our own attachments and so familiar with our own desires, but we like them. We like our attachments. We like our desires. We read these kind of verses, and this is such a powerful verse by Madhavendra Puri, which Radharani spoke 5,000 years ago, which Lord Chaitanya spoke 500 years ago in the Rath Yatra. And we think this verse in the commentaries we gave class in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Rath Yatra section, maybe in Puri, and this verse came up, and there's very many commentaries that Krishnadas Kaviraj saying that this one verse actually is a gateway to the whole, to bhajan. The whole bhajan on the platform of Vipralamba bhajan hinges on this one verse of Madhavendra Puri. And he said that, of course, unless one is a highly realized soul, he cannot really enter into or understand the deep secrets of this verse. But nevertheless, it is actually one of the core verses of understanding for Raghunuga Sadaka, to understand the heart of Radharani and how she felt when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura, then on to Dwarka. Brahmati, Kim Karomi, what can I do now? My heart is completely bewildered and disturbed. I'm helpless. I'm helpless. I'm sunk. I'm powerless and helpless. Krishna, can't you just... We saw you so many times, and I can't function without seeing you. I'm only breathing by remembering your promise to return. But please... I don't know what to do. Brahmati, my heart is kataram. Ridiyam twat kataram. Twama kataram. It's completely agitated, disturbed. It's being pulled in this direction, that direction. Please come back. Please save me. Very deep moods of devotion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur includes this in Satamayam Sadhana to give nourishment for our devotion. Our bhakti is rather weak, not very strong. We need a lot of high-powered vitamins and nourishing food to strengthen our devotion. So these verses are like lifting weights. You know, people lift weights, become strong, and muscles. Our devotional muscles... Our muscles of prem, our baby muscles, our baby teeth, they become strong by biting these verses. Separation, separation, separation. Anyone seeing Krishna? First we'll see Krishna in separation. Many devotees or people, they say, I want to see God. Show me God. Can you show me God? I want to see God. But God, you want to see God, but you have to so much want to see God that you will see God in your separation. Very interesting. I want to see God. Can you show me God? But how much are you feeling? How much do you want to see God? This much? Ai dina diradhanate matranath kadavalokise ridiyam twad kataram. That aloka kataram, ridiyam twat aloka kataram. Do you want to see God so much that without seeing Him, your heart is just your heart is just split in 100 pieces, and you're totally bewildered, and you can't even think straight, or even function, or eat, or drink, or talk to anyone, or move in the world, or have any social intercourse with anyone? Are you that much desirous of seeing God? Are you that much anxious? I say, well, no, not really. It's just a fleeting desire, a passing moment. Because this is what Radharani is feeling like. She wants to see God also. She wants to see her Nath, her Prananath, very much. So we want to, this is a separation. First we see God in separation. We have so much separation and so much ambition and desire to see Him. I must see Radharani, I must see, I must see. Then we go crazy. We become Brahm. Where is she? Where is he? Become Brahm. And I say, okay, you can't show me God. Okay, let's sit down and have a pizza. Forget about that. Forget about seeing God. That was, I felt like that, but now I have some other ideas. But Radharani doesn't have any other idea. Her heart can't think of anything else. Can we say that about ourselves? There's nothing else in our heart? Really, that our hearts are agitated and disturbed by only one desire, that I must see Radharani. I must see Krishna. Well, there's many things pulling our hearts this way, that way, up, down, left, right. This is text 10 of Satnayam Sarna from Hansaduta by Rupa Goswami. This is Radha, how she felt after Krishna went to Mathura. Pravasa Rag, again, Viparlamba Bhav. Prema and separation. Sri Radha's strong expressions of separation from Krishna are described in Hansaduta. Yada, I don't know how it goes. Yada yato gopi ridya marana nandano saranan mukunda galinyas tanayam anurundan marupurim tadamang shik chintasariti Ganagurna Paricharya. I don't think you can control that. That's not deliberate. That's involuntary crying. Agadayam Bademaya Payasi Radha Virahini. Radha Virahini. This is Hansaduta by Rupa Goswami. The swan came up to the Yamuna when all the gopis were contemplating suicide. And Lita saw that swan, and she thought that this is a swan carrier, Vishnudut, Hansadut. And he's very big and powerful and can fly very quickly. So they thought that he was a suitable messenger, Dut. Dut means messenger, duty. Duty or Dut. Messenger, swan messenger, SMS, courier mail. So they thought that this swan could carry their mail very quickly to Mathura, airmail. So they said, listen, Lalita said, listen, Swan, our Swamini is about to perish in separation from her Swami, from her Prananath, her Pranapriyatam Sham. So please, you go to Mathura and inform him of her condition, her very precarious condition here. And before you go, make sure you see the Dwarasavana Vrindavan, and make sure you see the Kadamba Kandi and Kali Kadamba and this and that. And she told so many things and so many leelas. She reminded Radharani of what she's speaking to the swan, giving her message of to Krishna, please come back and save Radharani and them also. And then she told, Lalita told the swan that when you go to Mathura, there's so many palaces and big bhavans there that you'll recognize Krishna's palace because there's so much smoke and incense smoke coming out of the windows of the palace. And then Krishna, on the roof of Krishna's palace, you'll see so many peacocks there. But don't be afraid of those peacocks, because the swans and peacocks are enemies. But these are carved peacocks. They're just carved. They're not real peacocks. And then you'll find Krishna in his room. He's surrounded by Akuras there and Gandava, whatever his mother's name is, Gandaki or whatever. The son of Gandhari or Gandini. Son of Gandini. You'll see Gandini Sutta there, which means Akrura. The son of Gandini. And you'll see the Yadavas there, and especially Uddhav. And then you'll see Krishna reclining on the couch, and he's wearing Pitambara. He's wearing yellow dhoti, yes. But so much different look like this. And so this is Hansaduta. And then Krishna, because Krishna sent a message with Uddhav, and it's called Uddhav Sandesh. Rupa Goswami has a drama called Uddhav Sandesh. That's part one, and second part is Hansaduta, the reply. Very beautiful. So here, the translation. Upon the request of Akrura, Sri Krishna Chandra, who gladdens the gopis' hearts, departed Nanda Bhavan in Nandagram for Mathura. Now separated from her lover, Sri Radhika is greatly agitated and submerged in the river of anxiety, which is full of deep whirlpools of unlimited suffering. Gopika Uri Daya Hari Rajachari Marupuri Akra Sahita Jabe Gela Tabe Radha Virahini Gana Gorna Tarangini Chinta Jale Agade Padila Chinta Jale Agade Padila. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bengali Bhajan. To reiterate the same idea in Bengali, because the book was, Bhajan Rahasyam was printed in Bengali for all the Bengali Bhaktas. So these Sanskrit shlokas are put in more poetic and, well, not, I don't say more poetic, but they're put in the common language of Bengali. Gopika Ridya Hari Brajachari Marupuri. O Krishna, you've stolen, O Hari, you've gone into the hearts, you've taken the hearts of the Gopikas, Brajachari, and then you left. First you've stolen, O Hari, you've stolen the hearts of the Gopis, then you left Braj and went to Marupuri. And you saw Akura Sahita Javigela. In the association of Akura, you went there. Now, what has happened? What have you done? What have you created? What is the result of your departure? Radha Virahini. Radha's feeling intense. Radha Virahini, Ghara Guna Tarangini. She is feeling intense separation, Ghana Guna Tarangini, and very thick waves of pain, pangs of separation are overflowing her heart. Chinta Jale Agade Padila. And she's very disturbed in your separation. And Hansaduta Rupa Goswami gives an incomparable description of the Brajaramani's feelings of separation that was caused by Krishna's Sudur Pravas. And Shringar Ras, or conjugal love between lovers, Viparlamba Ras is most relishable. In this book, Rupa Goswami has enabled the rasic devotees to dive deep in the ocean of Viparlamba Ras by writing about all those waves of separation that arose in Radharani's body. She was speaking incoherently and without any rhyme or reason due to her madness and separation, Divyon Mad, and sometimes very sorrowful speech. They're all due to the intense blazing fire of her transformed heart. It's called Sudipta Bhavas. Sudipta, like we have Deepavali. Sudipta means extremely brilliant fire. The bliss of the Brajagopi's heart, the very bliss. Who is the personified bliss of the Gopi's heart? Nanda Nandan. He was taken to Mathura by Akrura. This is a very interesting name, Akrura. The word krur sounds like English. Krura means cruel. C-R-U-E-L. Means nasty, mean, bad, whatever. Cruel. Vicious. And he said, "Oh, I am Krishna's uncle. My name is Akrura." And the Gopis are saying, "Wait a minute." And it's like, you know, the sun comes in the morning and says, "My name is Night." How is your name is not Night? You're a brilliant sun. So you come with the name Akrura, which means not cruel, and you're doing the most cruel thing to us. It's like a child eating a lollipop. There's nothing more cruel than to take away the lollipop out of his mouth, right? He'll cry, no? He'll cry, he'll stammer, he'll kick his feet, he maybe kick you also. And he'll roll on the ground and throw a tantrum and so many things because you took his lollipop right out of his mouth. So Krishna is certainly more than a lollipop, especially to the hearts of the gopis. He's their very heart. He is their heart. Their heart is nothing but Krishna. And Krishna is nothing but the heart of the gopis. And Akura came and ripped it out. And he wasn't a very good surgeon. So he just cut a hole in their chest and ripped out their heart and ran away. Didn't even sew it back again. Pretty bad surgeon. Didn't even, just left in there open heart surgery, but he didn't close it. He did open heart surgery, but didn't close her heart. Left it open, bleeding. So he's cruel. He's extremely cruel, maha cruel, not akrur. As a result of his cruelty, the Radha Virahini, Gopi Virahini, they all became drowned in an ocean of viraha, separation. I narrated part of this already, but the commentary is giving a little bit of summary of the book Kansadutta. One day, Mahabhav Srup Radharani, overwhelmed by feelings of separation, went to the bank of the Yamuna of Lalita and her sakis to soothe her affliction and the burning fire of separation. But when she saw the Keli Kunjas on the bank of the Yamuna, where she had previously enjoyed many wonderful intimate conjugal pastimes of Krishna, she fainted. Oh! She went for relief. She went to the Yamuna to bathe in the cooling waters of the Yamuna and soothe her eyes with the refreshing, soothe her burning heart and body with the refreshing cooling waves of the Yamuna, and to soothe her burning eyes, searing in separation from Shyam's beautiful form, by seeing that beautiful Shyam blue, Nila blue, dark blue waters of the Yamuna. But quite the opposite happened. She didn't get solace or consolation or comfort or peace. She saw Keli Kunja, some shrubs and bushes and trees bent over. Oh, that's where only just a few days ago I spent so many hours inside that Kunja with Shamsundara. We had so many wonderful divine sports of amorous love. And now he's in it. And she just fainted right there on the banks of Yamuna. So all the cooling waters of the Yamuna and the beautiful blue color were useless, because rather than comforting her and reducing her burning pangs of viraha, she became faint, unconscious, murcha, pralaya, devastated. The sakis then lifted her up and they placed her on a cooling bed of lotus petals, and they Lalita fanned Radha with their end at the end of her chunari. And the sakis, chunari, the veil. And the sakis chanted the names of Krishna. Krishna Govinda Hare Mare Hinata Narayana Vasudeva. Hey Govinda, hey Gopal, Keshava Madhava Dina Dayal. Achyuta Keshava Sridhara Madhava Gopala Govinda Hare. Shama Sundara. Kaniyala. Giri Varadari Nanda Dula. I like that. Radhi Radhi. By fanning Radharani and anointing her with cooling sandalwood paste, they tried to bring Radha back to consciousness. She was devastated, fainted, destroyed. Lalita was very impatient. She bought some cool water from the Yamuna. And there, when she went to collect that pot of water, she saw a beautiful, serene swan gliding on the water. An inspiration arose in her mind to send a message to Pranavallabha Krishna about the incidents that were destroying the life of her dear Sakhi Radha. She understood that this swan would be a suitable messenger, and she politely petitioned him to go to Mathura. While describing the road to go to Mathura to follow from the sky so he would find his way there, she said, "You will see this sign marker along the way, and that sign marker, this tree, that tree. And by the way, you can stop on that tree. You stop at the Kandamba tree on the banks of Yamuna, and that's where Krishna jumped off to vanquish Kaliya." So she described the different pastimes and reminded the swan of different pastimes. After Krishna went to Mathura with the Kura, Radha submerged in a fathomless ocean of anxiety. Radhika began to think, "Shall I protect my life air, which is burning in the fire of agony and separation from Krishna, by tying it down with the rope of hope? Or should I liberate my body from this rope? As my Prananath left Vrindavan, he said, 'Ayasya iti dotyakai.' I will return the day after tomorrow. But the day after tomorrow has never come. The day after tomorrow is turned into many long years. And still, we have not received any news that he may be coming. Should I just give up my hope and throw away my life, commit suicide by jumping in the waters of the Yamuna? When Pranakant Shyam returns from Mathura, if I do that and he comes back and he doesn't find me here, he will be so distressed. Oh, what shall I do? My intelligence is bewildered. I don't know what to do. If my Prananath, Sri Krishna, can't see me, he will not be able to live. But what shall I do? If I die, I will not see my Priyatam's soft, delicate lotus face, which resembles a kunda flower. But I am unable to remain alive because I'm burning up in separation. That Lord of our lives has not abandoned us. Therefore, it is only right that I should protect my life. So this is their transformation, the gopis' intense love, that they're yearning to meet Krishna, and that they create such a wonderful sweetness in their hearts. And this verse that we read from Hansaduta, Rupa Goswami is taunting or mocking Akrura because he uses a word in the Gandini Taniya. Taniya means the son of Gandini. But that has two meanings. One is that Akrura took birth from his mother's womb, and her name is Gandini, who is the daughter of the king of Kashi, which is Benares. Interestingly enough, Akrura remained in Gandini's womb for 12 years. That's a long time. How long did Shukadev stay in his mother's womb? 16 years. She was very much pained by this, obviously. And her husband asked, "Oh, child, why are you not taking birth? Why are you making your mother suffer like this?" Inside the womb, the child replied, "Father, if you give one cow to each Brahmin every day, I will take birth after 1 year." His father gave the requested cows, and after 1 year, the child took birth. Let's say that a son who is named after his father or his paternal grandfather is blessed. My brother, my eldest brother, he was named after my father. And it's the same as my paternal grandfather, you know, my grandfather's name also. So he's blessed. But that son who is known by his mother's name is wretched. Sri Rupa Goswami Pad indicates Akrura's cruel nature by making him known through his mother, not his father. Says Gandini, because he said that the gopis were saying, "Oh, Krishna was taken away by Gandini Tanaya." In other words, connecting Akrura with his mother, which is like an insult, not his father. So this is Rupa Goswami's way, or Rupa Mundri's way of slashing out or getting back at Akrura. She doesn't even want to say the son of whoever his father was. Vishnu Puran describes that Akrura's mother gave her family suffering, anxiety, and worry. Akrura, having the same qualities as his mother, threw the gopis and brijbasis into a limitless ocean of grief. The word in the verse is chinta, anxious consideration. This attribute arises in the stage of pravas, or viparlamba, Mohan Mahabhav. There's some leela here in relation to this. Radharani, after Krishna went to Mathura, Radharani was crying all day and night. Suddenly, Radharani felt two hands were covering her eyes. And then she said, "Who is this? Who is it? Is it Lalita?" Then a voice said, "No." And she said, "Is it Vishakha?" The voice said, "No." Then Krishna quickly ran around in front of Radharani and said, "It's me." And then Krishna wiped the tears from Radha's face with his cloth. And Radha says, "It's you. But why did you leave?" And Krishna said, "I haven't left. I'm always here." Then Krishna smiled and disappeared. And Radha fell unconscious. And Viparlamba's separation from Krishna, such spurtis or visions come. Viparlamba is sometimes called viraha. Viraha, you must have heard this term, like virahini, virahini raha. We say viparlamba, That also means separation. Or we can also say viraha. So viraha means viraha. V means special or vaishishtya. And raha means pastimes. So viraha means special pastimes enacted by Radha and Krishna. Viraha. Raha means lila. So these are the special pastimes that they're separated from one another. Yes, Krishna is in Mathura, but then he comes every day or every night. But they don't realize that he's actually physically there. They think, oh, we're dreaming, it's a vision, it's some kind of spurti. But he's really there. So it's a special vaishishtya. Vaishishtya, a special type of pastime. And that concludes text 10. Tomorrow we'll start text 11. These are all topics of prema and bhav, so they're a little hard to touch and to relate to. It doesn't matter. When the wall is being painted, when the cement wall is being painted, it doesn't really matter how the wall feels. The wall, you know the wall? The room has four walls. And they're fresh cement. And someone's putting paint on those walls. Whether the wall understands what is paint or doesn't understand what is paint, whether the wall has any feelings for paint or doesn't have any feelings, whether the wall has any attraction for paint or no attraction, after a few minutes and a few hours, the wall becomes painted, isn't it? It becomes colored. The black cement wall becomes pink. Right? It becomes blue or green or whatever. And then the wall looks at itself and says, oh, I was black and gray yesterday. And now I'm looking so pink. I'm looking so beautiful blue. So this is what this Shravana Dasha does. The walls of our heart are black. Lust. One wall is black, painted black. Lust black is a special type of... it's different. There's sunburst yellow, and there's school bus yellow, and there's canary yellow, and they have all these different names of colors. Blue jay blue, and baby blue, and sky blue, and navy blue, and bluey blue, and blah, blah, blue. So in the same way, there's lust black color, and there's a green black, there's a greed black color, and envy black, different shades of black, like black and black, super black and moderate black and light black greed, black anger, black envy. So our walls are very black. So much whitewashing is required. So hearing these topics, although we don't understand them, we don't have any feelings for them, and we're not really aware of them, but all of a sudden our black hearts become pink or blue or yellow or golden. Look how I've changed. Oh, look at this. Something different happening. So this is what happens when we hear the Rasa Katha and the Prem-filled Katha of Radha and Krishna describing the most intimate pastimes.